All right, joining me now is Annie. Annie has a few fans out there because Logan told me the other night, someone said in the feedback, I wish he would have Annie Cyrus back on again soon. So Logan told me that the other night. So you got a few fans out there too, Annie.
That's sweet. But I do want to go back to Delta Talk. I have a selfie with Delta.
You do?
When I was there filming The Siege, I got to take a selfie with Delta.
She was pretty young then.
She was.
She's gotten gray.
She's very sweet.
She's gray in the face in the last 12 months. It's been a stressful year. I don't know if it was all the hours of working running Lindell TV or what. She's gotten gray this year. But then again, so do a lot of us. But we do stuff about that. Anyway, I called you up the other day and I said, hey, Annie, I read where some of these negotiators for the Iran deal of Biden walked off. And I said, will you look into that? I don't have time. So what did you find out, Annie?
So three members of the negotiation team decided to resign, all three of them for the same reason. And the reasoning was they want a tougher stand from America, from our end. And I will do my best to pronounce these correctly, but Richard Nephew. He is apparently known as the architect of Iran deal. He put this whole thing together back in 13, when it all started. I don't know much about him, but I do remember during Biden time of nuclear, I had this picture that Richard Guy is the one who's going to bring the matches to burn America down. When that guy walks away, oh, you got to know something is off.
Wait a minute. You're telling me a guy that's been involved in this since 2013 is so disgusted by what's happening, he's walked off?
Yes.
Is that because he thinks the Biden regime is letting Iran get away with too much?
His exact sentence, I believe, I think it was on the Hill when I read it, was, we are way too soft. And the last two conditions that we are considering isn't something I'll stand by.
Now, what are those?
One, remember the president of Iran, Raisi, demanded that President Trump should be arrested and then executed, quote unquote, killed for killing Soleimani. Yeah, we're still considering that. Number two.
Wait a minute. Did you say the Biden regime is still considering giving Iran what they want, which is arresting President Trump?
Yes.
What are they going to do? Arrest him and then extradite him to Iran?
Or they will just arrest President Trump and put him next to the rest of the political prisoners we have for over a year in prison, unknown places, in bad conditions.
So what you're telling me is Iran is serious when they say they want President Trump arrested for the death of Sama Mali.
Oh, they are serious to a point where if you would go on IRGC, which is Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps of Iran, if you go to their Twitter, for the last 10 days, they are tweeting every single day with the following thread, one way or another, that if United States of America's government, aka Biden regime, if they do not give in to our demand, we promise Americans that the revenge will happen in their home. Translation, they are sending direct terrorist threats to Americans in America if Biden regime does not arrest President Trump and apparently put him through trial for killing Soleimani.
So they're threatening, Iran is threatening to have jihadists attack America's homeland if we don't let, or the Biden regime doesn't arrest Trump and put him on trial, then Iran is going to send jihadis, or have the jihadis already here, the terror cells here already, begin making attacks on America.
Exactly. Anyone out there, if you're rolling your eyes and if you're thinking, it's all a talk.
That was my next question. Is this just all talk?
Let's go back to 1979 when the Iranian regime and IRGC stormed our embassy in Tehran took our people hostages and held them for 444 days while torturing them, because back then they were demanding for America to return the Shah, or King of Iran, to stand trial. Remember when I said I'm watching history repeating itself? There you have it.
And so how
We are
many,
making a deal with a regime that has done this to us before, and we're just giving him an opportunity to do it again.
and how many of these jihadis do you think are slipping in among the 3 million that have come over the border just since the Biden regime came into power?
Well, we need to break it down into two categories. One are the IRGC members, and I want to just add this just in case.
Define what that stands for, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard.
It's Islamic,
Islamic,
right?
excuse me. Yeah, everyone wants to call it Iranian. It's Islamic Revolutionary Guard. Thank you.
Yes. Now, IRGC, or Islamic Revolutionary Guard, I want to make sure everybody knows, as of right now, this very moment, they are on the terrorist list as it is. And you can thank President Trump for that. So we're dealing with whom is already on terrorist list. Now, we got the IRGC members who've been in America for many years. The biggest number coming in was under Hussein Obama administration. And then we have the Taliban members who made a deal with Iran 2 weeks ago that if Iran would sell them oil and water, they would return the favor by cooperating and helping with jihad attacks. So we're dealing with two different group of people. A lot of Taliban members came through the Afghan withdrawal, when we were rescuing the poor refugees from Afghanistan. And then IRGC members are already in America known. That's why President Trump went ahead and put them on the terrorist list. So I can't give you a number, but I could tell you there are more than enough of them to blow up enough buildings and hijack enough planes and burn down enough synagogues and churches.
So you have no doubt, and I think I saw the report from Dr. Peter Vincent Pryor in one of his articles we've published, talking about the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, how big they are. I mean, when you add in all of the military from the different forces of Iran, it is huge, absolutely a huge military, because some of them are also reserved. They can call them up any time. We're talking about a massive military Iran has.
Yes. And here's the thing. IRGC is literally the head of it. There are so many smaller terrorist groups such as Hamas. Soleimani, that President Trump put the order to be killed because he was just, well, monster who was making threats and going after our embassies. He is the one who was the leader of training of Hamas, the Iranian guy. So I know we are all thinking of, Palestinians and the Taliban and the ISIS, but I want you to know IRGC, created originally by Ayatollah Khomeini, the man who hijacked my motherland, is the strongest and the most ruthless. Remember, Brandon, you had me on your show. I got a personal call from FBI here to tell me that I'm on IRGC's list and they already know my location and all my hotspots.
Good grief.
And when asked, "Can you help me?" they said, "Ma'am, we were just ordered to let you know." Well, they got you. That's all the help we got for you. That's how we're protecting our citizens nowadays, while we're tripping over our own people to get to Iran deal, which the second demand recently coming up, that is the second demand that caused the resign of the three members, is United States of America is going to guarantee that we will never walk away from the deal again to avoid situation like when President Trump walked away from the deal. They want a lifetime guarantee that basically no expiration on this deal until they finish their nuclear weapon, wipe Israel off the map, and come get us.
So, if these three people who are Biden regime people, right? Biden regime people.
Yes.
If they walked away, so they're not, they weren't Trump people that were still on the committee negotiating. Okay. So if the Biden regime people are saying this is a bridge too far and three of them walk off, then that must mean that the folks in the White House are not willing to hold the ground and be tough on Iran. And this is obviously why these people left, right?
Exactly. That's precisely the reason. But again, with Richard Nephew, for him to walk away, it's kind of like Homo Abedin walking away from Hillary Clinton. Can you picture that?
No.
That's what, like, when I did the research, when you asked me, and I'm like, wait, Richard Nephew is the first person who walked. This guy put this, this is his baby. Iran nuclear deal was Richard Nephew's baby. He built it. He put it all together. And he walked away? What are they doing? What are the negotiation terms that we're not hearing about? I'm not hearing even about it on the TV when watching Iran's news. What we're hearing is probably the bare minimum of destruction of America.
Okay, so those are the two issues that cause these three folks to walk away. So where are they at now? Those three people been replaced, or the talks back on? Where are we at?
Oh, the talks are still going. One of the members who was in a smaller position, that the name wasn't even released, been replaced. Richard Nephew has not been replaced yet. His position is still open. And interesting enough, I can't help but to think, just a guess, educated guess, but I can't help to think that soon enough, we're going to hear that Valerie Jarrett got the position.
Interesting. And she was born in Iran, wasn't she born in Iran?
Yes, that's where I was going. She does hold a dual citizenship of American and Iran. Now, she wasn't born to an Iranian parents, but she was born in Iran, and on that note, she got the dual citizenship.
But her parents are massive leftists.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But her ties to Iran, her ties to Iran deal, her direct ties to Hussein Obama, which is basically, this is his third term, those ties tells me she will be replacing Richard Nephew. That note, there is absolutely no coming back for us from that deal. I desperately ask my fellow Americans to pick up your phone, call your representative, let them know you want them to not sign off on this deal.
Because this has to go through Congress?
Yes, it does.
Let's talk about, real quick, Canada. I read the other day where Justin Trudeau is wanting to bring 1 million from Afghanistan to Canada. In my documentary Siege that you're in, I have a clip of an expert who says that Canada is like an aircraft carrier from which to launch attacks on America. That Canada is like an Islamic aircraft carrier from which the jihadis can launch attacks on America. Now, that came out in December 2019, that documentary Siege at siegethemovie.com. And now we see that Justin Trudeau wants to bring 1 million from Afghanistan to Canada, not to mention all of them that are coming from all over the world, from the southern border over Mexico's border to us, 3 million since Biden regime. We're being surrounded by the North and the South. What are your thoughts about 1 million Afghans going to Canada?
Whoa, here's how I'm going to put it. We really need to watch out. We need to stop considering Canada our little brother. Let me add one more news to it before I finish the sentence. Justin Trudeau is also negotiating to reopen the Islamic Republic of Iran's embassy in Canada.
Oh, wow.
Again, IRGC and Taliban. That embassy opens up, 1 million. Now, let's be clear. I have no problem with Afghan people. I don't have a problem with people, end of a story. But these Afghan refugees that are coming in to Canada, to America, wherever they're going, they're just like the rest of illegals. We don't know who they are.
Well, so many of them are military-age males, and they're dropping them down all over the U.S. on these ghost flights in the middle of the night. And they happen to be military-aged males. They're by themselves, a lot of them. There's no family. There's no spouse.
And they already have, okay, we covered this on your program a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago. Everybody can go back to Frank's speech, go on the Brennan House Live archive of all standalone videos, find it. We discussed that we already have two Afghan refugees who were arrested and indicted for raping American women in America. Remember that?
Yep.
We already discussed that there are three child brides located in military base in Wisconsin who are here with their husbands. The 12-year-old bride had a 62-year-old husband. And then over 700 Afghan refugees suddenly overnight got up and left our military bases. And they just opened the door and said, get out. We don't even know who they were. The Department of Homeland Security put out a press release and said, we do not have the information of which of the refugees those 700 were. We don't know who they are. We don't know their age. We don't know. Now imagine the numbers in Canada are way more, because Canada already, remember, Canada has blasphemy law. When I spoke at a motion M103, back then it was a motion, now it's an actual law. There's such a law in Canada that if you speak out against Islam, you shall be punished. I'm banned from going to Canada because of that. Now, that country is bowing to Islam way more than we are. And now they're about to load their land with, we don't know people again. And as I said, there is a bounty put out. It's announced on Twitter, which is funny enough. So my video is taken down, but they can put threat directly toward Americans. And well, Twitter is fine with it. So is Facebook and Zuckerberg, as you were talking about.
Right.
But that's besides the point. They're putting this call to jihad out. And we're about to have Canada open the door and bring all these Taliban, IRGC, hey, they might be Hamas. I told you there was a picture of the plane coming to America, the front couple. They were Palestinians. They weren't of Afghan. They weren't. So we're about to face this.
Wow. All right, Annie, liveuptofreedom.com. Liveuptofreedom.com. Keep tracking this. Keep us up to date, will you please?
Absolutely will do. I'll let you know as soon as I have updates on it.
Thank you, Annie. Liveuptofreedom.com is our website. I hope you visit it. Liveuptofreedom.com.